A lot of times these companies are a small group of guys who just started a tech company, and when something goes wrong, to be able to secure their assets, their funds, and be able to make sure that their company will be able to continue to run for the next year and the year after that, it's definitely a rewarding experience.
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success, talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Today's discussion is with 26-year-old Sean Wisdom, a technology underwriter at CNA Insurance in Houston. In this podcast, Sean talks about some of the skills he's found are necessary to be successful in his field, some of the emerging risks that he gets to deal with as a technology underwriter, and advice for others looking to get into the field. So Sean, first of all, what exactly do you do as a technology underwriter?
A technology underwriter, we evaluate tech companies, which is a lot of fun because we don't only do kind of like where their office is and things like that. We get to dive into the cyber aspect and data breaches and, you know, like the target breach and things like that.
So what types of things do you do on an average workday?
On an average workday, I service about 300 agents or so. Maybe come in contact with about 13 of them. Spend a lot of time outside of the office, so I'm not sitting at a desk all day long. A lot of time visiting my agents and kind of realizing what they might be coming up against and how I can help them. Most of the time we're going after prospects, maybe sitting down with an insured. And for me, going to tech companies is a lot of fun. I come to work every day, usually with a shirt and a tie on, and I get to go into a tech company and look at guys in flip-flops. So get a little jealous here and there, but it is a lot of fun and a lot of time moving around. So,
what is an rewarding experience that you've had while being in this job?
A rewarding experience I've had while being in this job. Well, I would argue that pretty much everything we do on a daily basis, we're securing people's assets, right? So insurance is just insurance until that claim happens. And a lot of times these companies I come in contact with are ran by a small group of guys who just started a tech company. And when something goes wrong, to be able to secure their assets, their funds, and be able to make sure that their company will be able to continue to run for the next year and the year after that, no matter what might have happened, hurricane, et cetera, it's definitely a rewarding experience. And getting to see those guys and being able to pay that claim for them and get them back up and running is rewarding all in itself.
So how did you get into insurance? How did you find out about it as a career?
Well, for me, it wasn't hard because my mom was in insurance. I was more of a dad's kid, so I used to hang out with my dad a lot, but he was in insurance too. So whichever way I looked, there was insurance all surrounding me. And I tried to fight going into insurance for a while just because I felt like it was guys knocking on doors and begging old ladies for life insurance. And it wasn't those things at all. When I got over here, I was able to move over to a position where I didn't have to change myself. And a lot of the things about me were my strengths, being able to speak to people face to face, being able to get out of the office and relate to folks is really what made a difference for me in my career. And without doing insurance, I'm not really sure where I would have been able to carry over some of those strengths and be as effective as I am today.
So Sean, being that you're in the technology space, talk to us some about some of the emerging risks that you get to deal with as a technology underwriter.
The biggest thing in emerging risks, data breach. Data. So when folks are holding on to anything that's a personal identifiable data, where it might be your name, it might be your license number, it might be anything like that, and they have to store it, and they use that in whether it's in the cloud or it's at a data center. So those kinds of things that most young people and myself are really interested in, and you might not have a lot of insight into, on a daily basis, you're working with that. You're working with startup companies. You're working with the Ubers. You're working with those guys on the back end to ensure that they're going to be there when things happen. I spend a lot of time in Austin, which is a lot of fun just because I get to go hang out with those guys, and I go to Austin Technology Council, and I go to all these meetings where you get to go face-to-face with a CEO or a real decision maker of a tech company. And those guys are a lot of fun, and it's really good to go up there and really be a value add for them. So they see you as something that's valuable and someone that they really want to know, want to meet.
What skills have you found are needed to do this job well?
To do this job well, you have to be a good conversationalist. You have to be able to relate to people. You can't be some smart guy sitting in a cloud and judging folks. You have to be able to get on the ground, meet with someone, see what they need, decipher what's going on, and how can you help them, right? I think it's glorified gambling, in a sense. We go through, we evaluate a risk, and we decide, if I play it this way, we'll make a lot of money. If I play it this way, we're going to lose a lot of money. So it's Russian roulette every day, and you're playing with a loaded deck. You have to be able to relate to folks and to speak on a one-on-one basis, and you have to be a problem solver.
What about someone who's good with computers and math? Would they have a place in the industry?
Without a doubt. If you're good at computers and math, every day we're working with numbers, we're crunching numbers to figure out what rate would be best for a company, right? What's the best premium to charge for a company? If you're great with computers, the benefit you have is a lot of times we walk in tech companies, and to win a tech company as a tech underwriter, the number one thing they want to see is that you understand their business. So if you walk in and they're speaking, you can speak their same lingo, you can talk that jargon right back to them, then you're going to win that account. So you're able to use some of these random nuances of intelligence you might have, or things you might have built up over time, or random interests that you have, and go into that field and specialize. If you're interested in construction, you get into the construction industry and you speak to people and you talk to them in their lingo.
Do you feel like you make a difference in the community?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. In this community, we have a smaller group of tech companies. We also have the larger folks, but on a daily basis, I feel like my impact is felt in that smaller community, that kind of that startup ecosystem where you go to Rice and they have a small incubator and they're building up companies. And as you go to those meetings at the HTC and they're presenting their ideas to Microsoft and these larger companies, they know that when they get that big contract, the first place they got to turn is insurance. That's the one thing that they're going to require them to have. You got to have E&O limits. You got to have cyber limits. You got to have media limits. What if you say this on a website and somebody decides to sue you for it? Who's going to pay for that? Not you. The insurance company is going to pay for that, right? So it's good to be, again, a value add for someone to where they're doing all these things and they're changing the world every day with their technologies, and they couldn't do it without someone to back them and make sure that when you take that risk, we're here to pay for you.
What advice would you have for anyone looking to get into insurance?
For someone wanting to get into the insurance business, I would say be yourself. The number one thing that sells me and sells your product is your personality, how well you're able to relate to folks. If you're a person who likes to have conversations, likes to work with people, likes to get out of the office, likes to move around, then you probably would like to do insurance.
Are there other opportunities within the insurance business?
Without a doubt. As far as insurance goes, there's so many moving parts. There's claims, there's loss control, there's underwriting assistance, there's directors. There's a surety that you can work in. There's construction that you can work in. There's technology that you can work in. There's so many different parts of it that are always moving that if you do get into insurance in one place and you find out, hey, I'm interested in something else, I almost guarantee you'll be able to find a segment specializing in that.
So, Sean, I'm sure you're looking to grow within the industry and move up in your career. So, as an underwriter, where are you hoping to go from here?
From here, I've always been a guy interested in leadership positions. At a former job before I moved into insurance, I was a manager, and I always loved leading a team. And a lot of times I get some feedback from those guys, and they're always asking me to be their reference now for new jobs and things like that. And I really miss the side of leading a team, and I get to see that from my director and from my branch VP every day. And the best part about our VP here is probably how frequently he's out in the field himself. And he delivers a message to us, and it's never easy. It's never easy. We got to spend a lot of time out in the field and working, but he's always out there leading on the front line. So I think for me, that's something to admire and something that I'd want to do also. At some point, I want to lead a team and lead by example.
So looking to move into more leadership positions, do you feel like underwriting will give you a good background for that?
One thing I did when I decided that I wanted to be in a leadership position one day, I went, we have LinkedIn and things like that, right? So you can easily click on a CEO and see his experience. So I went through a lot of our insurance CEOs and looked at where they started and what they did. And if you didn't see underwriter on there, they probably weren't the CEO of the company. Most guys start from an underwriter trainee level and they work their way all the way through the company, usually finance degrees or something like that. But you do see some diversity as far as backgrounds go, but usually the most consistent thing is that they were an underwriter at some point in their career. Underwriting brings revenue into the office. We're the money makers here. We're the guys taking that shot every single day after accounts and building relationships with the agent. We are the face of the company to everyone else.
So Sean, you're 26, so you're part of the younger crowd coming in and filling the void as a lot of the baby boomers are retiring and exiting the industry. Can you kind of speak to that and what it means to be part of the younger generation coming into insurance?
As far as being a younger guy in insurance, it's always come across as a real highlight. As you know, our workforce is kind of aging, but these folks are really excited to see younger guys come into the office and invigorate the office, get things moving around. Businesses have grown stale, but like tech, where I'm going into all these, our office is starting to be a true reflection of who we're working with. So as the previous generation is leaving the workforce, we're stepping in. We have big shoes to fill, but we feel really good about it, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. As new issues emerge, like technology, I think you need some new faces and a new outlook on how to adjust and how to evaluate risks like that.
Do you feel like the compensation is what it needs to be to attract younger, new talent to the industry?
When I moved over to insurance, my parents told me this would be the place to be. And I came over thinking, I'll give this a shot. And then the money said, you're going to give this a shot. I stuck around for a while. And honestly, they almost buy you out. Once you get in, it's hard to turn away because the money starts coming quick. People get excited about you. You're a younger person. They're excited to have you in the office. They know they can keep you around for a while. You're bringing energy to the office. You're truly invaluable, and they're willing to pay for that.
All right. Thanks, Sean. For more resources and educational opportunities, visit thenationalalliance.com. You can also find the National Alliance on LinkedIn to comment on this podcast or suggest topics for future podcasts. And you can also subscribe to Speaking Insurance on iTunes. This is Speaking Insurance.